Over the past few weeks on the program, we've been chatting about setting the right sorts of boundaries in your life. But when it comes to generosity and love, are boundaries even appropriate? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're going to be poking around in that question. What boundaries, if any, can and should you and I be setting in generosity and in love? And please do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be sharing something truly special with you to help you live your life in victory on those days when the daily grind of life just seems to be grinding away at you more than it should be. So let me ask you to think right now of the generous people in your life, the ones who really stand out for their generosity towards you and towards other people. Got them? Picturing their faces? Good. And so now let me ask you, what response do they evoke in you? What thoughts, what emotions, what feelings, these people who've been generous with their time, with their encouragement, with their resources and with their wisdom? What do you feel when you think of them? I'd be very surprised if you don't have warm feelings inside you right now as you think of those people. It's natural, isn't it? When someone's generous towards you, you just want to respond with warmth and gratitude, and chances are that you'd probably be prepared to crawl over broken glass for those people in return. The Bible, not surprisingly, has an enormous amount to say about generosity, although it doesn't always use precisely that word. More often than not, it simply talks about generosity in action. Have a listen to just a few of those instances. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love actually abide in you? And that's just a smattering of the references about generosity, each one encouraging us to be generous with what we have. Turns out that no matter how little we perceive that we may have, we actually have a lot more than we may think, a lot more than a lot of other people have. And when we give those things away generously, more often than not, they cost us very little. And yet the act of giving is such an incredible blessing, not just to the recipient, but to the one who gives. I've always been intrigued by this particular proverb, Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. One gives freely, yet grows richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. There's a powerful spiritual principle in that proverb that repeats itself in this world and in the universe over and over again. And the reason that blessing follows the giver is quite simply that God is a generous God, and he's so delighted when he sees his children being generous like him. You may have heard me say this before, but the very last thing that God did before he rested on the seventh day following creation was not to create Adam and Eve. No, that wasn't his last act. There was something after that. He did something else before he rested. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he'd made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning on the sixth day. Do you see? The very last thing that God did before he rested was to give all of creation, all that he'd made to Adam and Eve, to you and me. That would have to be the single most generous act in all of history. Well, maybe the second most generous act in all of history, because there came the time when God gave us something even more precious than all of creation. He gave us Jesus. Okay, so we've established in a sense the blindingly, glimpsingly obvious that God is generous and he wants us to be generous and he blesses in one way or another our generosity. No surprises in that really, are there? I mean, really, I'm not surprised and I doubt you're surprised either. But the reality is that you and I can't solve all the world's problems either. If you and I gave away everything that we had, every possession, all of our money, the truth is it wouldn't make anything but the tiniest of dents in the world's hunger problem. It wouldn't stop wars and exploitation and terrorism and slavery. So surely there have to be some boundaries on our generosity. I mean, in a practical sense, of course, there have to be. I've struggled with that a lot. As an Australian, I'm blessed to be born in a safe and relatively affluent society by any global standard that you'd like to name. Although, even close to home, we're surrounded by much need. Where do you draw the line? Sadly, the more affluent people become, all too often, the more tightly they draw this boundary. I don't know about where you live, but where I live, people on average spend twice as much buying pet food as they do on giving to the poor and needy. That's scary. So let me niggle away here at you. Where do you draw the line around your generosity? Thinking. Well, look, while you're thinking, have a listen to Jesus' take on this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 41. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, don't resist an evildoer. In fact, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also a second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. What Jesus is advocating here is actually radical generosity, being generous to your enemies. What he's saying here is draw your boundaries of generosity loosely. Be prepared to give when you see a need. I think all too often our default position, our first position is no, when in fact Jesus' default position is always yes. Remember when I was starting out in ministry and it was hard and I didn't have any contacts and I approached someone who'd been around in this media sector for a long time, who was well connected and who could have given me a hand. But when I asked him for some advice or for guidance or to open up his network to me, his starting position was always no. So now, a good many years on, as I meet people whom I can help, I try to have a default position of yes. Look, I can't help everyone. So many people write in and ask me to promote their books, and I just can't do everything. But as I meet people and get to know them and see that God is working in them, I give wherever I can, of my time, of my experience, of my context, whatever I can. Why? Because it's awesome fun to help people. That's the biggest revelation. I'm sure you probably always knew that, but that's something I had to learn. And whenever I give, I know it pleases God, and blessings flow in all sorts of different ways. Should we give in order to be blessed? No. But God's blessing is a natural outworking of our generosity. Proverbs 11:24-25, one gives freely yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. If I were looking to set boundaries around my generosity, then that's the scripture I'd go to look for guidance. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. the daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen? So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. Everything we own, we have in limited supply. Our money, our possessions, our strength, even our time. Every one of those is limited. Of course, we can work hard to earn more money. I mean, sometimes people are blessed with more money. I know some really wealthy people way out of my league. But even those people have a limited supply of cash, albeit that their limit is quite a bit larger than mine. So everything we have is limited. It's the way it's meant to be. Everything, except one thing. The one thing that is unlimited, or at least can be if we choose it to be, if we allow it to be, is love. Boy meets girl. They fall in love. They get married. They love each other. A child comes along. They both love the child in a way that doesn't diminish their love for one another, or at least it doesn't have to if they don't want it to. They have a bit less time to spend with each other than they used to, but they still love one another just as much, whilst at the same time loving their child beyond words. A second child comes, a third, sometimes even a fourth child. In fact, I have some dear friends in Lincoln, Nebraska, who have 9 children. Add in the parents, and in Australia we'd call that a cricket team, not a family. And yet, even with 9 children, Mark and Precious love each other and all of their children. And you know what? In their household, there always seems to be more than enough love to go around. In fact, it seems to me that the only time we run out of love is if we choose to withhold it, if we choose to empty our hearts of it. Otherwise, God somehow created us with the capacity to love without limit. I'm not sure if you've ever thought of it that way, but it's true. Now, sometimes people are emotionally damaged, perhaps through rejection, perhaps through abuse or in other ways. But time and time again, I've seen this. When they experience the healing love of Jesus, their capacity to love without limit returns to them. And when you think about it, that makes complete sense. Each one of us, every man, every woman, every child, has been created in the image of God. And God is a God who loves without limits. Jesus once said to his disciples, John chapter 15, verse 13, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And then off he went and laid his life down for you and me and for everybody else who would believe in him. No greater love has anyone than this, than to lay down their life for their friends. So there you have the very definition of love. God's love is the sort of love that Jesus was talking about there, the sort of love that Jesus lived out and died out for us on the cross. It's a love without limits, unlimited love, love that holds nothing back, love that is prepared to suffer incomprehensibly, love that's prepared to give everything, even life itself, for another. In other words, God has set absolutely no boundaries around his love. He became completely vulnerable for our sakes. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was torn apart on that day when Jesus bore our sins on the cross. What is it that tore the Godhead apart? Your sin, my sin. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard that, they said, "I think the man's calling out for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge and filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. See, that right there is love in action. And that's the point. Love isn't just a noun. It's not simply a thing that we possess or don't possess. It's also a verb, a doing word. Love is something that we do through our actions. Jesus loved us. He demonstrated his love for us by suffering for us and dying on the cross. The question is, what do you and I do with that? As we're looking at what boundaries we set and don't set in our lives, the question is, what boundaries should I set around my love for others? And to me, it seems as plain as the nose on my face that from the cross, Jesus is crying out the answer to that question to you and me here and now. His answer is none. No boundaries. Don't set any boundaries around your love. And that's not just implied. That's not just something that I'm reading into the text. That's something that Jesus actually tells us with his own words from his own lips. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In exactly the way that I loved you, Jesus is saying, without limits, without boundaries, without holding back anything, not my comfort, not my convenience, not my body, not my reputation, not even my life. In that way, love one another as I have loved you. And when you think about that, when you think about what Jesus went through, that's a big call. That means forgiving your enemy even before they ask for or deserve forgiveness. It means holding your tongue even when people hurl all sorts of false allegations at you. It means not blaming other people, your friends, for instance, when they desert you. That is the sort of love that Jesus is calling you to. As we've talked about setting boundaries, good boundaries, right boundaries, godly boundaries over these last few weeks on the program, if you've been able to join me or listen to the messages on the podcast or on the internet, no doubt you've been thinking about putting up a few boundaries, a few barriers. And yes, we need to do some of those things. We need to guard our hearts and our minds and our resources. We do need to get right boundaries in place in our relationships. But the whole point of that is that so we can end up with the integrity, the wisdom, the strength, and the courage to give our love away in bucket loads, without limit, whatever it may cost. The mark of a Jesus follower, a so-called Christian, isn't the Jesus loves you bumper sticker on their car. The mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ is the sacrificial love that they pour out into the world. Now, you may be thinking, Bernie, what? Are you saying that Jesus is calling me to be a doormat for everyone to wipe their feet? No, I'm not saying that at all. Jesus wasn't a doormat. Jesus laid down his life willingly. He suffered willingly, not out of weakness, but out of incredible power and strength and courage and resolve. He'd have done none of those things if he hadn't set some boundaries, if he hadn't ignored popular opinion, if he hadn't ignored the naysayers. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Hey, that's a high calling, because it'll hurt. It'll mean rejection. It'll mean loss and pain. But because he first did it for you, he's calling you and me to do it for him. Because today, here and now, you and I are the hands and the feet and the mouth and the heart of Jesus. Because today, here and now, there are countless people around us who are desperately aching for something they don't yet know about or understand, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And in order to bring it to them today, Jesus is calling you to love them without boundaries, without limit, whatever it may cost. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. It's an incredibly complex world that we live in these days, a world where good and godly boundaries are being eroded, a world where the temptation is simply to go with the flow, to give up on overcoming the sin in our lives. But that has terrible consequences. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our special edition book, Eliminating Stubborn Sin Once and for All. I'm really praying that God will work mightily through this book in your life, as by the power of His Spirit and His Word, He sets you free from the stubborn sin that may be plaguing your life. Because God's Word, come on, it's alive and active, amen? So may He do a mighty work in you through this book. You can request your free copy at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be on its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Now, let's head back into God's Word. Now, in the few minutes that we have left together today, I want to take that discussion about the love of God through Jesus Christ through to its logical conclusion. I have no idea where you are right now in your relationship with Jesus, or indeed whether you even have a relationship with Him. But I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't share with you right now the possibility of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, of accepting Jesus into your life. Here's the bottom line. One day, it's going to be too late to accept Jesus. And at that point, anyone who hasn't taken that step will spend the rest of eternity apart from God in a place called hell. Not a pleasant place at all, I'm sure you realize. Funny how many people believe in heaven and yet not in hell. But you can't have the one without the other. The reason that the Son of God, Jesus, came to this earth was to die on that cross, so that the requirements of God's justice in terms of your rebellion against Him and mine, your sin and mine, would be met. In other words, Jesus paid the price that you and I deserve by dying on our behalf. And it's through that amazing sacrifice that you and I can receive complete forgiveness from God right now for the past and the present and everything in the future that we do that's wrong. It's as simple as that. Perhaps you're thinking right now that given what you've done in your past, you could never be worthy of that. But you see, that's the whole point. None of us is ever worthy. That's why we call it grace. God's forgiveness is His free gift to you through Jesus Christ. And not just forgiveness. Jesus rose again. Right now, He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He rose again to give you a new life, here and now, for all eternity, with your slate wiped completely clean. That's why we Christians call it good news. It's fantastic news. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, then now, right now, is the time to do that. If that's what you want to do, if you've heard about Jesus today and you've been sitting there thinking to yourself, yes, this is what I've been looking for, then now is the time. Don't leave it till tomorrow, because tomorrow could be too late. So if you're ready, if this is what you want to do, come and pray this prayer with me right now. Father God, I have heard about the amazing love that You have for me today because of Jesus. And I know I've ignored You for such a long time, but that's not something I can do anymore. Lord, please forgive me and please accept me just as I am. I've done so many things wrong, but I know that Jesus died to pay for all of that. I know You sent Your Son to suffer on that cross and pay the price for me. So today I put my complete trust in Jesus to save me from my sin, and I want Him, You, to be the Lord of my life. From today on, I want to live for You. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit this very minute. Give me the power that I need to live my life for You. And thank You for accepting me and giving me a new life, an eternal life. Lord, just thank You. I pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps for the first time in a long time, then from this moment forward, you are forgiven. You have the gift of eternal life because of what Jesus did for you. But this isn't the end. It's just the beginning. Let me encourage you to go and grab a Bible and start reading it. Matthew's Gospel is the first book in the New Testament. It is such a great place to start. And may you live that most amazing life as you discover the amazing plans that God has in store for you. He didn't hold anything back. Give Him your all, everything that you are, everything that you have, all your hopes and all your dreams. and may you be mightily blessed as you live your life for Him. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.